We've been spending this week talking about preparing your children to handle money or money will handle them. And there's a big question looming out there. What do I do about allowance?
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and there's so much that goes into raising kids, but a big one is how you handle money, because how you handle money reflects the philosophy of life that you have, and it will also ultimately affect your child's marriage and how your child is employed and keeps that employment going.
That's exactly right. In other words, you just gave the three basic things we have to do as adults. I've got to have a core for decision making, and everything I do, look at, click on. That's my philosophy of life. Mm-hmm. And your philosophy of life can be a lot of different things. Money makes the world go round is the home I grew up in. If it feels good, do it. Just don't get caught. Philosophy of life. Get to Friday and do whatever down on South Beach. Just don't get caught. Or faith in Jesus Christ. He knows the plans he has for me. That's the philosophy of life I want to send my children out the door with. One of the corruptors or difficulty areas is the handling of finances. And as you said, not just in philosophy of life, in my marriage, it's the area of debate. And so I've got to place my children in a program that allows them to actually handle money. There's a difference between teaching and training. Teaching is probably setting an example. I can take them to the baseball cage and I can say, okay, Roby, stand outside the cage here. I'm going to show you. This is what the ball looks like. This is what the bat looks like. And now I'm going to swing it a couple times. Let's go home. And you can carry the ball and bat, but he's never used the ball and bat. So the training is when you actually have to swing at the ball, and you're going to miss a lot until you hit it out of the park. We know that our children are going to go out the door and have to be able to drive a car. We just know that's going to happen.
Right.
But we don't say, you know what? It's scary driving the car. It's a risk driving the car. I'm never going to let you drive the car until you leave home. And then when you're on a college campus, get somebody to help you figure the car thing out.
Oh,
okay. It's a disaster. And so part of my responsibility as a parent is to teach them how to drive a car. Bigger responsibility is to teach them how to manage money, or money will manage them in everything they do.
And you gave some four steps to training. The first one was example. Give an example, which is hard sometimes for us adults because we have to change our habits. I mean, we really do. We're such impulse buyers as adults, and then we wonder why our kids want everything all the time. I mean, partly it's because they're kids, but
I think what you said is perfect. I need to set the example, and so that they don't miss it on the way home from not buying that thing I wanted to buy, I need to say, "Boy, you could see I really wanted that, didn't you?" And he or she might say, "Yeah, I thought you were going to buy it. I was going to buy it till I realized I didn't really need it, or till I realized I can't really afford to get that right now." Really? No, I can't. Well, I have money, but it's budgeted for other things. Set the example, but then also give the little talk around
and shed light on it.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Yeah, here's what just happened.
Discuss what you were going through.
Yes.
So example was your first point. Second point was exposure, and we talked about that yesterday. Exposing your kids to budgeting, to how you run things in the house, and then there's experience and encouragement. But today we're talking about experience.
We will probably spend much of the rest of this week and next week on the actual experience. No one can do it unless they've practiced it.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear about it. You can look at it. But you can study science. You got to have a lab. And so a big issue here is called allowance. And I really think that's where do you think we get the word allowance? What is it with allowance where we give kids money to go spend? Any thoughts on that?
Certain amount that they are in charge of.
The word, though. I think the word is allowed. Yes. Oh, you just ruined it. I wanted to be the one.
Sorry.
Allowing my children to practice handling money.
Mm-hmm.
Allowance. I'm allowing them to. I don't know if that's where it came from, but I think that's cool.
That's okay.
You would have never thought of that.
Never.
It just came out by mistake.
Yes.
I wanted the credit for that. Allowance. Allowance is a very instructive thing. And so we've got to give our children the money to handle. Everybody wants to know now when, and everybody wants to know how much money.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal on that. I have no clue. And I'm not going to purport to have all the answers. And 99.99% of the people listening to this broadcast have never seen my children, not even sure whether I have children. And they could both be serving time somewhere for all they know, or totally bankrupt.
They're not.
Yes, there are no experts on parenting. The only expert you're ever going to meet is your aunt, who's never had kids and happy to give you instruction on kids.
Yes.
I'm going to give you some thoughts. One of the thoughts I'm going to give you, Larry Burkett, when he was alive, disagreed with. So I'm running in a tough field here. But I gave my children an allowance. I started them at 5 years old. I don't know why that was a magic number. They went off to kindergarten at five, whatever. And they were starting to ask for things more at five. I started at 5 years old. I didn't connect it to chores. Let me say that again. I didn't connect it to chores. I felt that the fact that they were going off to work a work day from 8 a.m. till 3:30 in the afternoon at school was their job. And they brought home more office work called homework than I did. So, this is what you're doing. This is what we're focusing on. Now, I had extra chores. They had chores to do. How do you get them to do their chores? Well, I didn't take away money if they didn't do their chores. I don't think they care. Take it. Have it. You're going to take a quarter away if I don't take the garbage out?
I tried that. It doesn't really work.
Oh, because they're cool. They don't care. Fine. Have it. Life stopped if you didn't do chores. You have no options but do chores. We'll talk about that another time, but there's a direct consequence for not getting your chores done.
Okay.
That's your participation in this family. You want to end up washing a garbage can out quickly, then don't take the garbage out and you'll wash out the garbage can. It's just easier to take it out than wash it out, whatever it is. But I gave them an allowance. I had extra chores on top of their chores. You want to make some extra money, I'll pay you for that. And we will negotiate, actually, on some of those things.
Okay.
But, and we'll talk about that later, but I gave them an allowance. I started at 5 years old. Pick your money. It doesn't really matter. I started mine, my five-year-old, with 10 dimes. And I gave them 10 dimes because paper doesn't translate. 10 dimes are these 10 little things.
Yeah.
And I wanted to teach them how to tithe. I wanted to teach them how to give back. Well, Bob, did you make them tithe? I didn't really make them tithe, but on Saturday mornings when they came for their allowance, they had to bring their offering envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And put something in front of it, and I help them fill it out a little bit. And watching one always give more, always give one or two or three dimes, and you know the other one a little more normal, giving one dime, and that's okay. And that was a highlight of the worship service for them. Mm-hmm. When the plate would go by and they'd put their dimes in, and it was in their envelope, and it was such a hilarious. People got such a kick out of my kids coming in with their own personal envelopes with their own money that Uncle Russ, one of the ushers, actually put little candy mints in the offering plate. It was the most hilarious. Missed the whole point, Russ. They would put the thing in and see a mint and look at me, and I'd wave, and Russ would be laughing. They'd take the mint out.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was almost an exchange that I had to stop for us. Russ, don't do this anymore. Give them a mint
in the lobby.
You're
ruining my lesson here.
Yeah, well, they're thinking they're paying for their mint here.
Right.
But that would be a part of it. But here's what I did after that. I allowed them with their allowance to make the decisions for what they wanted to do with that money. There were some no toys and there were some yes toys, but I allowed them within the yes category to spend it. And so that meant when Rosemary went to the grocery store with the kids, she'd say, bring your wallets, you know, bring your money, bring your wallets. And you have to make the connection between some of the things they want in life and that money. Otherwise, we'd find the 10 dimes in the back of some little toy truck of Roby's as he's toying it around and losing his dimes, and they're gone. So that money that you've got in the back of that little truck right there, that money is what you use. Mom is not going to buy you things out of the glob machine or the silly band machine or the little football helmet, the 25-cent football helmet machine. You do that. Well, Daddy, I've lost some of my dimes. Sorry. I'll help you look a little bit, but you got to take better care of your money. But I lost them again. Sorry. And so often we want to rescue that, and it breaks our heart when they lose their, as he would say, my monies. I lost my monies. And it would break your heart. However, I would rather teach them not to lose it now rather than have him say, hey, you know, I had a wad of 20s in my pocket and I lost it, Dad. No, we're done here.
We have the rule in our house. If I find money cleaning, it goes into the family jar.
Oh, very
and you
cool.
can't claim it anymore because you weren't responsible enough to put it in your
wallet.
That was
our in the dryer rule. Finding money in the dryer goes
Mom
into
gets
the,
rich at the, in the washing machine.
Well, it went into the entertainment fund for everybody.
Right.
And it was interesting because it was dimes. We knew it was Roby's. And as Tori had progressed past dimes to quarters, we knew it was Tori. And even though we knew it, and you know that's mine, it's a quarter. I don't know. Honey, I carry quarters. I carry dimes. We don't know. So
it's winky.
Yes, it's breaking my heart too because it might be my money. You can't take care of it. You've lost it.
Yeah.
But giving them an allowance and allowing them to be responsible. And here's the fun part. Then going to the grocery store with their money, and Roby would turn his dimes into quarters every single time. Every week at the grocery store, and after his tithe, he'd give enough for three quarters. He would come out and park his little blonde body right in front of the little football helmet machine at 25 cents a football helmet. He'd put his quarters in, he'd get his helmet, another quarter, get his helmet, another. Every time, spend everything on quarters and be totally out of money until next Saturday. completely out of money. And I'd have to say to Rosemary, you know, when she'd say, can you go back to the store and get cream? And I'd say to Rob, come on with me. And we'd go, and he'd not have any quarters left. And I'd specifically have to say that. It'd kill Rosemary. She hated this. You want to bring your wallet? No, I don't have any money. Okay, well, come with me anyway. And we'd go, and he didn't have any money. He'd stop by the machine, and he'd look with those little blue eyes up at me and stop by the machine with his little blonde page boy haircut and look back at me. I'd have to say, like, well, go ahead. You can spend your money. And I'm a morbid person. It didn't hurt me like
torturing.
It hurt her. Oh, yeah, I'm morbid. And it would just, Daddy, I don't have any money. Can you loan me money? Honey, I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm not a bank. I cannot do this right now. Now, later on, I did end up, I have a little plan for loaning money, but I can't. So you didn't save your money. You don't have any money. Mm. Rosemary would even say, how much longer should I let him waste his money, his quarters on these helmets every day, a week or whatever? And I'd say, until he stops. We've got to let him feel the pain until he stops. And all of a sudden, one night, I was sitting on the side of his bed, and his helmets were lined up on a bookcase all across the room. And I'm sitting on his bed. He's looking past me, I can see. And he's looking at his helmets all across his bookcases. And he finally said it. He said, helmets are stupid. It was so funny. Why do you let me buy all these helmets, Daddy? And I said, because it's your money. He said, well, you don't have helmets. I said, I know. I don't want helmets. I want to save my money and buy bigger things and different things. And he said, why do you let me? Don't let me do it. And I said, honey, this is your money. You're responsible for this. And I told that story to Rosemary. And she said, you're going to have to take him shopping after the next one, because we knew it was going to happen. And watching him come by the machine after his allowance with his three quarters and the agony of his little fat fists, so wanting to let go and get those quarters, and watching him put the first one in and get a helmet and then stop and in tears. Aww. And never buy another helmet. Now, helmets were painful anyway, because some of them were Pittsburgh Steelers helmets, and I don't like the Steelers at all.
Imagine that.
Yes, I can't even believe they were in my house. It was blasphemy.
How long, though, did that go?
A long time.
Like years?
No, or? No. But he probably had 30 helmets, which might be 10 weeks. And which is 10 weeks. How long is that for a five-year-old? That's forever.
Yeah.
And ever and ever. And for Rosemary, it was forever and ever. Is he going to get this lesson? But pain teaches. Failure teaches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the big scheme of things, this isn't really a big pain.
Yeah.
It's not the big pain of getting out of law school and going to work for the firm, and the partners all have cars that have letters and numbers on the back of their cars, and you know, you're driving a Chevy and that you had in college, and it's got 140,000 miles on it, and you're seeing that and you're thinking, I'm out of law school now. Or I remember, for me, pulling up at the courthouse, I worked for the courthouse right out of school, and they had the nicest cars, and I forget, but they've been here a lot longer.
Yeah.
And they don't have the same philosophy of life I have, and I pull up at the courthouse and I've got this piece of garbage Volkswagen without a back bumper, and I'm dying, and I finally got my first paycheck, and I'm wanting to go buy a car I can't afford, and I had to reel it back in. Thank you, Dad. My dad helped me with
that. The power of no.
Yes, the power of no is perfect here. So we've got to give them the money to help them practice the pain. It's called allowance. Allow them to experience success and failure. And when we walked by, or she walked by him with a helmet, one helmet and two quarters, and just be cheering, and her say, you know what? This was really great, Robe. And when you walk in the house, show your dad one helmet and that you only bought one. Mm-hmm. And, well, Daddy thinks I probably shouldn't buy any, doesn't he? She said, Daddy knows it's your money. And when he came in, and it was a funny thing, because she did call me on the way home on our one mobile phone we used to have at that time and to announce that thing. Or maybe she didn't call me. Somehow she told me. And she prepared me, because I did truly believe he shouldn't buy any helmet.
Right.
Cause I'm
especially
the tight...
not if they came out Steeler ones.
Yes. I'm the tight one. And he came in with one, and he had a helmet in one hand and two quarters in the other. And I did have to get in the mindset, that this is awesome, because it's effort, because it's progress. Mm-hmm. We're getting there. I've got to give them the opportunity. Training means allowing with allowance. If you don't give allowance, chances are you end up giving them more, and there's no plan. train them up in the way they should go. That includes the handling of finances.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. If you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, Dr. Bob Barnes, or his resources, you can go online to shfm.org. You can also hear this broadcast again and sign up for the Daily Parenting Blog online at parentingtoday.org.